We had gotten so disgusted with the machine and so fed up with it that we decided to try to upgrade. We were lured by the iMac. Then we looked at the operating system and said, wow, this is possibly the best operating system I've ever seen. We plugged it in, she answered 4 questions, and she was surfing the internet. We were absolutely silent and stunned by this. It's not just for artists. It's not just for pointy-headed intellectuals from California. It's for us. It's for programmers. It's for developers. This thing is an all-around computer. I can use this for everything. I'm Dave Haxton. I'm a programmer by trade.
Lookass, the best 30 plus minute album conversation you're going to hear
all week long. I'm your host, Erfan, the giant biceps Elijah. Joining me today, you like that one? Joining me today, he's Cult of Max news reporter, and he's the Sergeant Riggs to my Lieutenant Murtaugh. Buster Heidi is here.
Hell, hey, man.
Hey, dude. So, have I used that one before?
I don't know, but I got to be Riggs, huh?
Yeah, you're definitely Riggs. You're the wild and crazy one. Slaps his face a lot, jumps off the hood of cars. But I'm not as stuffy as Murtaugh. Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm it's like we're both Riggs. We're both cool.
Yeah.
And we both like to do wild and crazy things. Don't you think that's more accurate?
Yeah, I guess so. I was going to say Leander's could be Murtaugh.
Leander, he is the Murtaugh, is he? He's real stuffy and uptight. He's getting too damn old for this. Speaking of Leander Caney, he's not here. What is Leander doing?
He's got a dang book to write.
I thought he was done writing the book. I mean, he said he was done 2 weeks ago.
No, he's not. He's home stretch. Home stretch, he says.
Home stretch. The perpetual home stretch. Taking him forever. So he couldn't join us today, and Lewis is traveling as well, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he's Buster and I, we pop the top on the bottle of bubbly. We're in the hot tub.
What's up?
In our very small swimsuits. And we're going to do this show live from the hot tub together. And, you know, these shows are always very intimate and fun. So it's nice every once in a while to be able to just reconnect. Don't you think, Buster?
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's been too long.
It's been far too long, if you ask me. All right, so here's what we got. Apple's doubling down on LinkedIn, y'all. You probably heard about this. We'll tell you about the memo Apple sent to employees that asked them to stop leaking that within hours had leaked. And we'll also talk about iPhone addiction. Do you think it's Apple's responsibility to combat iPhone addiction? Well, they think it is, and we'll tell you about their plans to stop it. It also looks like we're getting a new iPhone SE sometime very soon. So if you're into that phone, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll tell you all that we know. And if you stay tuned till the end, we will do another segment of What We're Into, where we talk about the stuff that we currently like in our lives, the things that we're trying out, maybe the movies, maybe the service that we like. I don't know what service that would be, but, you know, there's so many services out there. Things that are not necessarily fitting into the technology box. I mean, it's just totally random. And it could be completely wild. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll do that at the end of the show. Before we dive into this big leaking story, let me go ahead and... Where the hell are my notes? Come on. Let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. I pay for a Squarespace website, and I love it. The cultclock.co is hosted on Squarespace. The cultcast.com is hosted on Squarespace. They make it so dead simple to get a website up quickly. You'll have a beautiful website that you'll be able to show off with pride, and you can use it to promote your physical or online business, promote yourself to potential employers, sell products or services of all kinds, or announce upcoming events or special projects. They're so versatile. You can do so many things with Squarespace. If you have been thinking about getting a website, if you have a business particularly, you don't have a website yet, check it out at squarespace.com/cultcast. The best part about it is you'll be able to build it all by yourself and manage it with no help from anyone else. And it will scale to any device that visits. It will look great on a Mac. It will look great on an iPhone or an iPad. You build one website and Squarespace automatically adjusts everything so that it looks great on any device that comes to visit your website. Squarespace.com/cultcast. You can get yourself set up with a free 2-week trial and build websites, see how you like it. And if you want to continue your service after your trial has expired, you can use code cultcast at checkout to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain at squarespace.com/cultcast. Buster,
Yo.
Actually, first, before we talk about the leaking stuff, I got to bring up this story. This is going to put many people's minds at ease, because if you have been worried that there's going to be some type of unification of iOS and macOS, if you're going to get some godforsaken combo device that is slash half iPhone, half Mac, you're going to be happy to hear this news. So with this story that came out recently that Apple is going to be moving their Macs from Intel to ARM chips, and the rumored unification of iOS and macOS apps, I can understand if you were anxious, like I am, that Apple is doing away with the Mac line. We've heard that they're not, but Tim Cook recently reassured us that that is not going to happen. And I'm very thankful that he did this, because I was starting to wonder about this as well. So in a recent interview, let's see here, with the Sydney Morning Herald, Tim Cook said, "We don't believe in the sort of watering down one for the other. Both are incredible. One of the reasons that both of them are incredible is because we push them to do what they do well. And if you begin to merge the two, you begin to take trade-offs and compromises." So again, affirming that Macs are going to remain independent from iOS devices. This is something that Phil Schiller said also in 2016 when he was asked about it. He said, "We did spend a great deal of time looking at this a number of years ago." They were talking about unifying the two platforms. "And came to the conclusion that to make the best personal computer, you can't try to turn macOS into an iPhone. Conversely, you can't turn iOS into a Mac. So each one is best at what they're meant to be. And we take what makes sense from each and add it to the other. But we do that without fundamentally changing them so that they're compromised." Amen! That's what I wanted to hear. So with all the stories that we've had out recently, I can understand if you were like, what are they doing here? Because that's what I was thinking too. But they're going to keep Mac, and they're going to keep iPhones, iPhone. And that's the way it should be. They should never merge these devices. Although, I wouldn't mind macOS on the iPad. That would actually be, if they had a version of iPad with macOS, they'd have to adjust a little bit.
Sure.
But I actually think like the Surface Pro is not a bad idea.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's a great idea. It just runs Windows.
Having an iPad, clearly after reading what I just read, they're not going to do this. But I wouldn't mind if they had an iPad with a kickstand on the back that could be used as an iOS device, and then you could switch modes, and then you could attach a Bluetooth mouse to it or something, and then just use it as a regular computer. I wouldn't mind that at all.
I just feel like that would be kind of clumsy and inelegant for Apple, like switching different operating systems. I don't think they would want that. I think they would want it all to be the same thing, you know?
I agree.
Just so the experience is... But yeah, I agree. Yeah, that would be awesome, because then it's like you have a Mac and an iPad in one, which would be super dope.
The thing is I don't think many people would buy that device. Most people want one or the other. But really? Well, I think it would be great for college kids.
I feel like pros would. Yeah, dude, I would buy that device because there's, you know, like then I could... Because I used to type the blog on an iPad for a bit, and it worked out great, but I couldn't do the podcast. So like, there's some things, like or video editing. I would want to do that on a MacBook. But a lot of stuff, I could just do that on the simplified interface of the iPad, and sometimes it's faster in some ways.
Anyway, so if you were worried, don't be. It's all staying the way it should be. All is well with the world. Let's talk about this leaked memo that came out this week, which of course... leaked almost immediately. So if you didn't hear about this, Buster, tell us about the leaked memo about leaked products.
Well, of course, Tim Cook is not happy with all of the leaks. And I don't know if this memo was written by Tim Cook. I think it was just like somebody in general at Apple posted on the company site a huge, long memo about people leaking stuff and how you're letting down the entire Apple family and hurting everything. And... they also talked about how they've caught a bunch of people, too. I think they caught 29 people in 2017, and 12 of the people got arrested. And Apple, one of the ways a lot of this stuff leaks is bloggers from websites like 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors and TechCrunch and stuff will approach Apple employees online through like LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff, and you know, trying to strike up a friendship and get information from them, which Apple put like a big old warning to everybody that they're getting played by journalists in exchange for
information. Are you serious? Is that how it goes down?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how it goes down.
If you saw a journalist, if you're working at Apple and a journalist tried to friend you, Wouldn't you just naturally assume that's they're coming for your infos, dude?
Oh, totally. And I've never tried that myself because I've just thought like that's so blatant, you know?
Yeah.
And just, yeah, like obviously you don't want to be their friend. You just care about like if them working at Apple and stuff and want to know what's up. So, yeah. But it's funny that people have, yeah, people do that all the time.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always just assumed that people met each other at WWDC or something, and then that's where the journalists would try to become your quote unquote friend.
And that's where the information gets leaked,
you know, especially if you're drinking together and you start talking about technology and then you just start asking questions and, you know, the person, if they're drinking, you know, they're just a little bit more willing to answer what the next iPhone is going to look like.
Yeah, right.
And I always wonder about their motivation, though, too. Like when a journalist starts asking you for information, if you work at Apple and you have information that you know is valuable, what's your motivation to share it? Because
right,
according to this memo, one of the guys just said he didn't think he would get caught, and that's why he did it. Well, that's not a very good motivation. I mean, why else would you do it? Clearly, there has to be some benefit for you in order for you to risk losing your job at Apple.
Losing your job.
Which you're probably also getting paid $100,000 plus a year.
Yeah, and you know, Apple's in the memo said, we will make it harder for you to get employed by other companies as well. I wouldn't want, I guess I'm thinking maybe the thrill of being part of that and seeing like inside information go out and like, oh man, like that story was mine. Like that's the only reason I could see why people would want to leak information, because
it's for the thrill. You got it, man.
Yeah, the thrill.
It's like in, have you ever seen the movie True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bill Paxton?
Uh-huh.
You have seen it? Do you remember Bill Paxton's role? He is a used car salesman, but he meets women and tells them that he's a spy. And then he builds up like these elaborate, these elaborate situations to make them think that they're helping him live his life as like this secret spy. But in reality, he is just some used car salesman. And that's what it must be like. He's like, you know, they're trying to go out there and like make their lives more exciting.
Totally. Like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, as an Apple employee, you know, a little bit of gossip and stuff from inside the company, from people in other departments. So I'm sure you've heard things. And so I'm it's got to be kind of exciting to be a part of like that rumor machine a little bit.
Of course, what you got to be careful of is Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. Because he's going to find out that you're lying. He's going to come get you. He's going to come get you. For those people who have seen True Lies, that was a really good reference. But, you know, that movie came out in like 1994. So, you know, I can understand.
If you haven't seen it, that's like James Cameron's best movie.
That was a James Cameron movie?
Yeah.
Wow. That was one of Schwarzenegger's best, too. Yeah. That was such a good movie.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Man, RIP Bill Paxton. Yeah, so we, of course, benefit from these leaks, and I would hate to see the leaks stop, because what would we talk about if there were no Apple leaks? But I do get why Apple wants to tighten down on them, but they've had a terrible time. Didn't Tim Cook say he would double down on leaks and secrecy? And ever since then, I feel like we've seen more leaks than ever. What comes out at a
keynote
now that we didn't know about?
Yeah, the iPhone X, everything on that was leaked out through somebody giving the iOS 11 GM link to Mac Rumors or 9to5 Mac. And
that guy got fired, too.
Yeah. And they said it only took them a few days to track down that person. So I'm sure that guy might have got fired. Like, I'm wondering, me and Lewis were talking about this. We need to look up into the court records and see the ones that got arrested, what kind of punishments they received for it.
Man, can you imagine if you ended up in prison with some guy who's like murdered someone and you're like, he's like, what'd you do, man? You're like, oh man,
I leaked iOS 11.
I leaked iOS 11. It's like, huh? Yeah, I leaked iOS 11, man. That's all I did. I've been there for 5 years.
I got your back, man.
Yeah, I bet he does. When he finds out the crime that you committed, he's like a murderer. So We'll see if this makes any difference. I don't think it will make any difference at all. The leaks are still going to come out hot and heavy. Although it is interesting that Apple did basically threaten their employees here, and they did it very kindly, and they made it seem non-threatening. But when you read it, it's very threatening. You're going to lose your job. You could go to jail. We know how to catch you. We have been catching people. So you better watch your back, Holmes. That's what Tim Cook is saying to the entire staff. We'll see if this makes any difference. Let's move on. Let's talk about iPhone addiction. Do you feel like you're addicted to your iPhone, Buster?
Dude, I am addicted to my iPhone. I think I might be too. Yeah, it's very bad. I catch myself like sitting there and just impulsively grabbing for it every like 5 minutes. And I'm just like have to stop myself sometimes and being like, stop it. Like, there's nothing on there that you need right now.
What's your number one app that you continually go back to?
Instagram a lot, Reddit, the Twitter, the internet. That's about it.
Uh-huh. Just dude, the internet at large?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I rotate through those four a lot.
I think mine is probably Twitter. Actually, more than anything else right now, this is so vain. I hate to even admit this on the show, but I'm going to say it. I open up YouTube Studio a lot. Studio is an app most people probably aren't familiar with, but if you have a YouTube channel that you're producing videos on, they have this app called YouTube Studio where you can look at your subscriber count, you can see how your videos are performing. And as many of you know, I'm putting out videos on my YouTube channel now. It's exciting, you know? I'm Buster and I were just talking about this before the show. We're spending all this time. If only you knew how much time went into some of these videos. It's hard because sometimes you'll watch a video that's a total piece of crap, and as many of my productions are. But nevertheless, they still took 15 hours to make. And so I'm constantly checking the app to see how many videos get watched or how many views each video has and then what comments people leave. And just, you know, my YouTube statistics. And I check it so many times per day. And I don't need to check it that often because I don't have some major channel with like 5 million subscribers. Like, I'm not going up that fast. So I might check it and an hour later I'll check it again and it's gone up by like one subscriber, you know, but I'm constantly checking it throughout the day. And sometimes I wonder what life would be like if I didn't use my phone as much as I do. And I also use it a lot when, you know, you're in a situation where you don't really know anyone, and rather than expend effort trying to actually talk to people and be an actual human, I will just get my phone out and just sit there and stare at my phone, and that way I can avoid the awkwardness of having to have forced conversation with somebody. Yeah. Well, I'm sure many of you listening, you know exactly how it goes. Well, Apple wants to help with smartphone addiction. And I actually think this is interesting. When I first heard about this story, I rolled my eyes and I was like, dude, they don't need to do this. This is so lame. Just let us be. Let us use our iPhones and be happy. But Tony Fadell, former Apple executive, father of the iPod, he was saying that Apple needs to do more to battle smartphone addiction. And he wrote this new op-ed about it and said it would be easy for Apple to create a dashboard that would reveal exactly how much time you spend on your app and maybe even what you're doing inside each app. And the more I read it, the more I thought, this is actually not a bad idea. Why wouldn't we want to see this kind of information? I'm always of the mindset that the more information, the better. And Apple, it turns out, agrees with Tony Fadell, and they said they're going to be incorporating smartphone monitoring features into the next version of iOS. Now, they didn't say exactly what that's going to look like, but I think something very simple, just a start, would be really useful. If they just showed you which apps you're spending time in and how long you're in each app throughout the week, throughout the month, I think that would be pretty incredible to see, don't you think?
Yeah, it would. And depressing.
And depressing, right? When you saw that you spent 16 hours that month just refreshing YouTube Studio. You know, you're like, okay, maybe I need to check it less often. Or Twitter. I bet Twitter is a big one for most people. Just the incessant.
Because you just, flip, you know, scrolling up, like just waiting for the new update.
Waiting for the internet to deliver new content to you. Yeah, exactly. Especially at night and on the weekends. It just doesn't get updated very fast, you know? So you're constantly just going back to it all the time just to see what people are saying.
Yeah. And, one way you can check some of that stuff, though, is going into like the battery settings of your iPhone and seeing like apps like under battery usage. Like I can see that I spent 2.6 hours on the screen of Instagram in the last 24 hours. So that's horrible, I think. Yeah.
That's actually not that much.
I don't know. It feels, that's a lot.
Are you just checking your friends' photos? Or are you looking at your own to see like what people are liking about your photos?
Oh, or just other people's photos. Yeah.
Huh.
Just exploring. Yeah. Like
just mindlessly browsing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've all but abandoned Instagram. I haven't used it in forever. I don't know why.
Hmm.
I mean, I kind of stopped posting on it and
you're all about the Snapchat now.
Oh yeah, I'm all up in those snaps. It's the new thing, isn't it? It's what the kids are now into, Snapchat.
We might be like a year late to Snapchat, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be completely gone in a year. Like, it might be out of business. It feels like everyone's jumping ship and moving to Instagram.
Yep.
Like, Snapchat was really cool when it first came out and all the young people used it. And they're all gone. I don't even know what they're using now.
Young people?
Yeah, what are the young people using?
I don't know, like... Instagram, WhatsApp, maybe Instagram. Yeah.
Did you say WhatsApp?
Yeah, WhatsApp school, right?
Really? Isn't that just like a cross-platform messenger app? Why would that be the hotness?
Yeah. You know what? Don't ask me. I'm not cool with the kids.
Yeah, I never understood the popularity of WhatsApp. I guess I guess I do get it because it helps you have group conversations with people from different devices, but you can do that with text messages. So what's the point?
I don't know. Somebody Facebook that's paid into WhatsApp, get at me and tell me.
Didn't Facebook pay $22 billion for that, too, when they bought it? $22 billion. Yeah,
it was stupid expensive.
That's insane. Anyway, okay, so I'd be curious, for those of you listening, do you feel like you have a smartphone addiction? Do you feel like it's Apple's responsibility to help you do something about it? I don't know. Seems like it would be interesting just to at least know what your usage is in different apps and how long you're spending in them. I think it could be useful. Oh, we got to talk about magazines, Buster. I know you're wondering, magazines? Are those even still
people in
the
airport? That's it.
Yeah, those are the things that I see at the airport that people with spectacles on their noses read. Yes, they are, but Apple recently made a purchase and they're going to be launching a new magazine subscription service that you actually may be interested in hearing about. And when I first heard about this, I thought it was actually kind of interesting. But before we do that, let me say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural shapes and geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered to you in a small, how did they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on a trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping, and Casper wants you to be comfortable. Well, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/cultcast and using cultcast at checkout, casper.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, let's talk about magazines. Now, I know most of you are thinking, magazines, this is so lame. Why are you talking about this? Well, this might be a subscription service that you may be interested in. So there was this service that was going strong for a couple of years called Texture. Have you heard of it, Buster? Have you heard of Texture?
Never heard of Texture.
Man, they advertised on podcasts like crazy, which is how I heard about this service. And Texture was this service where you pay them a low fee. They're basically a Netflix of magazines. How about that? Okay. They charge you $10 a month, and then for $10 a month, they digitize over 200 different types of magazines, and then you can read them all in the app. Does that sound like something that you would find interesting?
No, because I don't subscribe to magazines, and I don't know why people would when you got blogs and right? news websites and stuff. So
yeah,
it sounds like a different version of Apple News, only you have to like pay for it. Oh, it's going to be part of the Apple News app. Oh, okay, Jim.
Basically, yeah. So Apple bought Texture not long ago. And the rumor is that they're going to be launching, or I guess relaunching, this service as a part of Apple News. So you'll be able to read all these magazines.
$10 a month, 200 magazines.
Yeah.
Is that content available online for free, though?
I would guess some of it is, but
right?
I would
guess like a lot Rolling of it is Stones, not. That's like a magazine you'd buy, or Wired. You can buy the magazine, but then you can also go online and view the story, too.
Is it the exact same content, though?
Not the exact same content. Like a lot of editorial features and stuff like that might not be on there, but for, you know, a lot of the like reading type of stuff would be.
I feel like they're trying to make magazines stay relevant in some way.
And like that's, I don't know, like do magazines need to stay relevant in an age when nobody wants to buy things that like you throw away? Like that's one of the things about magazine is it's, you know, it's paper and it's disposable.
I know, I haven't read a magazine since the internet happened,
right?
And I don't really know who reads magazines. That's the interesting thing here. I mean, I think texture is a good idea. If you like magazines, this seems like a no-brainer.
Or if it was just like New York, subscribing to like a bunch of different websites too, like premium content, like get behind like the paywall of New York Times, Washington Post, a couple other news organizations and stuff like that. That's something like I would probably be more interested in.
Interesting. That's not a bad idea. Like
this content that's other people are putting behind a paywall.
Yeah. So I wonder how well this service is going to do, but Texture did build up a business that was valuable enough for Apple to buy it. So clearly they had enough people paying for the service that Apple thought it was worth pursuing further. And so it'll be interesting to see if this is successful for Apple. They've had a lot of trouble with these types of services over the years. They've tried this kind of thing before. In fact, when the iPad launched in 2010, one of the apps that Steve Jobs was most excited about was something called the Daily. I didn't even remember this until I read about this again.
Oh, right.
It was the iPad exclusive newspaper, right?
Yeah.
That Apple offered and bombed. I just feel like it's not that magazines aren't convenient. It's that people just don't want to read magazines anymore. They read blogs. And the content, I guess, is not going to be so original in magazines that you would want to purchase a magazine to read it there instead of just reading it in a blog.
Right.
Interesting move. Okay, well, before we do what we're into, we should at least mention that a new iPhone SE is on the way, Buster. Probably this summer, right?
Yeah, it might be this summer. It sounds like it. Apple dropped a bunch of, filings for new models in Europe or Eurasia.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how many exactly there were, but it seems like...
Well, they said there were several, but they didn't exactly say what they... Well, they didn't say what they were.
Right.
But we know that the iPhone 10 just came out, the iPhone 8 just came out, and so this filing with the Eurasian Commission, it has to be the iPhone SE. What else could it be?
Yeah. It would have to be, a low budget, I'm guessing, because it's not like Apple's going to release just a... It couldn't be like just a special variant of the iPhone X just for that region or something, I don't think, right?
It would have to be
like an all-new model. So, it has to be the SE, which I'm guessing maybe at WWDC they would announce it, or maybe before then.
Yeah, so let's see here. The iPhone SE was updated in March 2016, but that was just with increased storage, and the current model still has the same technology from 2014. It has an A9 chip, and that was the same one, as you'll recall, is available in the iPhone 6. So I would imagine they'll put the A10 chip in it, maybe even keep the same form factor, although that form factor is getting pretty crusty. It's old now. It wouldn't surprise me if they moved it to look more like the iPhone 6, although that's a much larger phone, so maybe not. Maybe one of the reasons they're keeping it at the current size is because it's so small, and a lot of people out there love the small size. In fact, you had an iPhone SE for a while, didn't you?
I didn't, but I have a buddy who does and just really loves it. Like, does not want to go to a bigger iPhone size at all. So
that's what I hear a lot from people who have the SE is they love their phone. They don't want a larger one. They just want a better camera. They want it to be faster. And excuse me, pardon me. And they have a very passionate following for that iPhone SE. People love it.
Yeah.
So if you're excited about an iPhone SE, this summer might be your summer. You might get the phone that you've been waiting for since 2014. You'll finally get the faster iPhone SE with better camera support. All right, well, that's all the news we have for this week. Let's go ahead and jump into an all-new What We're Into, the segment where we talk about the stuff that isn't necessarily technology-related. Buster, do you want to go first? You got something real hot you want to share with us today.
I was just going to say maybe YouTube, like kind of how we were talking about it earlier. I can't remember if I've mentioned this before, but I feel like YouTube, that's like, oh, so old, you're just getting into YouTube. What are you talking about? But I think for me, YouTube has finally kind of really replaced like the traditional cable news outlets and stuff like that. Or just cable media in general, as like YouTube is my main source of entertainment in many ways now. Like I follow a very like totally like a wide array of different people and stuff now, to where like sometimes I'll turn on like the regular TV channels and stuff and I'm immediately bored and I just go to YouTube, and now I just watch YouTube all the time now, and it's way funner and more personal, like we were talking about earlier.
Welcome to the club. Yeah, I've been in the same boat for years. In fact, in years past, I've pitched as my favorite program stuff that I've watched on YouTube, which feels weird because they're not television shows, they're not produced, but they are interesting. And there's a lot of content on YouTube from people who make content that's very simple, but it's very engaging. And I don't know, there's something really powerful about it, isn't there?
And you have both ends of the spectrum too, like people who make stuff that's super simple and very awesome. And then there's also people like, I follow Yoon Olsen. He's this former like pro skier, and now he has like a couple companies and he just travels around all the time, but he shoots.
Dude, I follow that guy too.
Oh, his stuff is so awesome, like so high quality. He's like used to film with red cameras for his daily vlog. I think now he's downgraded to like just the Panasonic GH5, but he'll have crazy quality production on just a simple, like, I'm going about the town to check out my house in Marbella type of like blog post. And it's just like insanely high quality. You're like,
the guy is insanely rich too. I mean, every place that he goes, he's driving really nice cars. He's got really nice houses. So you said he was a skier. Is that?
Yeah, he was a pro skier for a long time. He won a lot of X Games gold medals. And I think he was like one of the first extreme athletes to really like tie their wagon to Red Bull. So Red Bull like loves the shit out of him. And he still, he has like some pro ski. He has one big pro ski event every year, I think. And he still skis. Like on one of his recent vlogs, he was in, I don't know, Switzerland or somewhere in Europe, trying to do a big, like a full loop, like Tony Hawk loop skateboarding, only on skis, snow. Like it looked brutal, but he like got it. Like, so he's still pretty good at skiing, like can do stuff that nobody else is doing.
I was missing that part of the story, because when I would watch his content, it was very highly produced, and he's freaking so rich, right? He's rich AF.
Oh yeah, he's just like,
and I was like, what are we doing here? Who is this guy? Like, his content, I don't feel like ever really goes anywhere. I'm never really sure what I'm watching or why I'm watching it. No. I just know that he's really rich, and so I'm intrigued by his lifestyle.
Yeah, and he's just super positive, and it's very, I don't know, even
and very Norwegian. Yeah.
Yes, very, very. Like, but he's like, yeah, and like you're saying, like he's super rich and he's got this mentality where he's just like, yeah, like I grew up poor and so I just spend the money that I have and like really enjoy it. But he also seems like a super hard worker, so it's like motivational at the same time. So
yeah.
But there's a lot of people like that, or not like him, but a lot of people that you're watching on YouTube where it's like great that you can like, even though I can't identify with him in any way, you somehow find that person more relatable than anybody on like a TV show and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate form of reality TV, because it's actual reality in many instances.
Right.
And it's not scripted like, you know, reality TV has become. But it's, what's crazy is some of that content is, people don't think of it as mainstream content. They think of the stuff on TV as mainstream and YouTube as alternative content. But if you look at CNN, a lot of their shows get 800,000 views, you know, 800,000 people watching. And I think their most popular person is Anderson Cooper, and his television show might get 2 million people watching it. But you look at someone like Lewis Helsentager, who does Unbox Therapy, his episodes get, you know, 1.5 to 2 million every single episode. And then there are people like Jake Paul who get like 4 million. There are Casey other creators Neistat that get even more than that. So YouTube really is more mainstream now than television is, at least to a generation of people. And man, I'm totally with you. I know it seems weird to pitch YouTube, but I love YouTube. I watch more and more and more, and I'm constantly discovering new creators on YouTube that I've never heard of. Have you ever run across someone and you're like, who is this? Oh my gosh, they have 5 million subscribers. How did I not know about this person?
Oh, dude.
There's a ton of them out there.
Well, I think I don't know, maybe like Casey Neistat and Logan Paul as like the biggest YouTubers, but I don't even think they crack the top 20, really. Maybe Logan Paul probably does, but like the top 20 will really surprise you. I saw the list maybe a couple months ago, and you're just like, what the? Never heard
Who are these people?
Half of these people.
Right, exactly. Especially because a lot of them are not in the U.S. Like, I think a lot of them are in Spain.
Right.
Maybe even Mexico. Like, there's a lot of Spanish YouTubers that are really popular who I've never heard of, and they have like 25 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And it's always weird when that happens to me. Like, I've been using YouTube so long that you just kind of get a sense for who the popular people are, and then you run across someone who has millions of subscribers and you've never even heard who they are.
Yeah, you know, and you can reach an audience. That's what I think is so cool about it. Like you were saying, you know, you're obsessed with the YouTube studio or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
But it's cool because you're kind of putting yourself out there and being able to interact with an audience directly, no matter how big or small that is. It's like, I think I like it more than Instagram even. Like, I'm more stoked when I get a comment on a YouTube video than like on an Instagram photo or stuff like that.
It's just crazy too. YouTube is so massive. I it's hard to quantify the scale of how big YouTube is. I mean, it's the second biggest search engine in the world. I don't think a lot of people know that. And I always tell this story because this was my epiphany. This was my aha moment with YouTube when I realized how powerful it was. This was years ago. And I ran across this video of this guy who had found an elevator, and he thought the ding on the elevator was really interesting. You know, like ding, the door's open. So he made a video and he put it on YouTube. And I was watching it, and I think like 6,000 people had watched it already. And I was like, dude, 6,000 people found this video, this totally lame, boring video of an elevator ding. And they watched it, and they were commenting about it and having a discussion about how, yes, this was very interesting. And I lost my mind. I couldn't believe it. This guy put out a video of an elevator dinging, and it got popular on YouTube. And that's when it really occurred to me, wow, YouTube is just getting started. I mean, it feels like it's really well established, but I still think we're in early days of YouTube. It's going to be much, much bigger than it is right now. And this is where all content is going to be for the majority of people. They're going to watch stuff for free on YouTube, I think.
Right. Or pay for like one of the YouTube Red, one of the services, which I think that's hopefully like where it morphs into, where it's seems like a more polished type of experience if you pay for it and get more features, which I think what don't they have a subscription service, YouTube Red or something like that?
They have YouTube Red.
Oh, that's
which,
just music, right?
No, they have a music service too. YouTube Red allows you to do some stuff on YouTube that you couldn't do otherwise, like it disables ads, but a lot of stuff that you can do by paying for YouTube Red, you can do just with an ad blocker, you know?
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, you can block most ads on YouTube if you are so inclined, but
I can't get an ad blocker on my TV. I always watch YouTube on my Apple TV.
Yeah, you can't get one there, unfortunately. Do they show you a lot of ads on the Apple TV? I rarely see them.
Sometimes, God, I was watching one and they had ads in the mid roll, like in the middle.
Oh man, if you don't have
like,
an ad blocker, YouTube will show you so many ads, so many ads. So my pick was going to be Fortnite because I have been, I know I've talked about it a lot before, but dude, I'm losing it over Fortnite. It's a phenomenon and I've been caught up in the wave, man. I've been playing it. I've been streaming it on my Twitch channel and I'm going to be honest. Normally I like to hype myself up. I'm not great yet. I'm not ninja yet, but I'm working on it and it's a really tough game. It's a fun game and it's super addictive. Every time I lose, I'll play like an hour and a half and I might play 30 matches in that hour and a half, and I lose a lot of them. In fact, if you look at it from, like, did you win the game at all perspective, I lose every single one. I've never won a game, ever. Like, for me, if I just get some kills and stay in towards the end, then I consider that a win. Because winning an actual game is really rare for most people, because there are 100 people that get piled into each game, and the odds of you winning a game are slim unless you play for a living. But it's become an absolute phenomenon, and some of the guys that play professionally stream on YouTube, or they stream on Twitch and then they upload that content to YouTube. And one of the guys I've talked about before, his name is Ninja, and I've talked about him in his YouTube channel here before. His YouTube channel, dude, he's going to be the next PewDiePie, I think. His channel is blowing up. He's getting 100,000 subscribers every single day. The last time I talked about his channel, he had like 5 million subscribers, and now he's almost to 10. He might even be over 10. And I think he has the fastest growing channel on YouTube, and people just love Fortnite. It's this worldwide phenomenon. It's crazy. Everyone's playing it. And I just don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. It just is growing so fast. It's really kind of amazing to witness how popular it's becoming. So I've been playing it, and I've been watching it. So a lot of the YouTube that I'm watching these days is Fortnite videos. Have you tried it yet, Buster?
I've played it on the iPhone, and I sucked. So, yeah.
I played it on the PC, and I sucked too. Dude, a lot of matches I don't even make at 30 seconds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just go balls to the wall, man. I jump in, I get super aggressive, but I still suck. So I just get really aggressive. I go chase down some guy, and he just kills me.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's still fun. But I'm hoping to get good enough where I can start making $500,000 a month. Like, well, this is the crazy part. This is the crazy part. So I know we talked about this before, but I can't get over it. So this guy, Ninja, streams Fortnite on Twitch. And he's making $1 million a month right now between his YouTube advertising revenue and his subscriptions on Twitch. So Twitch allows you to pay to support one of your favorite streamers. And you can pay $5 a month, $10 a month, and then Twitch keeps half and they give the other half to the streamer, which I think is kind of too much for them to keep, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Why do they get half?
Isn't that a lot?
Geez, even Apple's, like, people complain about Apple's 30% take in the App Store. Like,
yeah, Twitch keeps half. Like,
oh, we get half.
Yeah, jeez. Insane. But when things really went crazy is when Apple, or when Amazon bought Twitch, and I was really kind of wondering what they were going to do with it. They've done some cool stuff with it, and one of the things they did is they made it so that if you are a Amazon Prime subscriber, you can support one of your favorite streamers for free. And they'll give that streamer $250 a month on your behalf. And so once they enabled that, it went gangbusters. Now people are making millions of dollars on Twitch because they have Amazon behind them. And Amazon is giving those people money. And people are basically giving away free money. If they're a Prime subscriber, they have this money to give away to Twitch subscribers for free. And so why not do it, right? So most people do. And so Twitch has become this wild west. I mean, people are like out there. It's like a gold rush, right? If you're making good content, you can make tons of money on Twitch now. And it's insane to think that a guy like Ninja he's 26. He's a millionaire, dude. I mean, he's making more than people who have established corporations selling actual products. And all he's doing is streaming his video game playing for people to watch. Now, granted, he's one of the best damn video game players I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, he is an athlete in the video game world. He does things that no one else can do, and he's fun to watch. But still, can you believe that? I mean, can you imagine making like $10 to $12 million a year just playing a video game for 4 hours a day?
Well, like me and my roommate were talking about this the other day, and it's very much like athletes, like NBA, NFL, like athletes making $20 million, $30 million a year when they're super megastars. Like, all e-gaming is, you know, you're just watching a game that you're familiar with and you're in awe at other people's ability to do it. It's the same thing as basketball, baseball, or whatever sport. So I think it's super fascinating how e-games are becoming, like, so huge and you can make so much money off of it. It's ridiculous.
I mean, he's making more than actual athletes.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And it's just like, and I'm sure he's got like insane groupies like athletes and just like, it's, I'm sure it's crazy to be a ninja.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy to be a ninja. What else could you say? And I'm just trying to get a bit of that pie, man. I don't even want to be like a warrior. I just want to be like somebody making, you know, I'd be happy with $4,000 a month. I would be super happy with that. $5,000 a month, I'd be losing my mind. $10,000 a month, man, I'd be living the dream. But to be making millions of dollars a year playing video games is just it's just insane. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come reach out, say hi, or mention any of the stories that we talked about in today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Buster's B-S-T-3-R. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I'm like, I don't want to make millions playing video games each day. Right when it hits the rim. There he is.
What's up?
It's a very powerful boom just for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
That brighten up your day?
Not everybody gets that. Yeah, not everybody
Dude,
gets one of
very
those.
Very few
know?
Do. Leander's never received one. He's never gotten one ever. I doubt he ever will. He doesn't even show up anymore. Well,
yeah. What if he finished his book? Would you give him a boom for a book?
Maybe. I should be like, boom. He got a small one. Wouldn't have the same gusto. Maybe as I'm shooting it into the trash, I'm across the room.
Touchdown!